Yeah, so this is a semi-emergency episode. There's not going to be any sports content on here, so advance warning to people. Mm-hmm. You know, the holiday just ended for me. It's Sunday night. Akiva, you've obviously been online for at least the last 36 hours plus. Probably the worst day in certainly in our lives in the history of Israel, probably the Jewish people. So just you know, you're on the ground there. So tell us what your Saturday was like, and you know, first of all, are you and your family safe?
Yeah, we are personally safe. So basically, Saturday morning we got to synagogue. We got there very early because it's a very long day. It's probably maybe even the second longest morning of the year. I knew something was off because the rabbi was wearing like a military attire, which I don't know. Maybe he's like reservist. He's not that young, but maybe it's like okay. He's like, you know, he's in the military or whatever. But then, like as the day went on, like more and more people, including my brother-in-law, were like, "All right, you got like people who had been in the army, were." Generally serve in reserves for like, I don't know, 10 years after 15 years or something. We're called up as reservists. And we heard a rumor that there was a local a terror attack in a synagogue. It ended up not being true. Although as we realized after like so many insane things happened that like an attack in a synagogue where like one or two people died would barely have made the news by the end of the day. So we knew something was off, and like we had like security guards, like armed, you know, armed guards by in the synagogue, with like 100+ people, but that was fine. And that's honestly not super outside the norm. Like that's not anything that hasn't happened before. You know, we've been there. So we didn't, because we don't really use technology, like we were pretty out of the loop. We knew something was going on because again, a lot of people were getting called. My brother-in-law got a call. He was gone immediately.
Your brother-in-law who's in the reserves was called up.
He's a doctor. Yeah. He's a doctor, in the reserves. And, but we didn't really realize, but my son was sort of like watching out the window and it's like, oh, that's so-and-so, he's leaving the neighborhood and so-and-so. And like, just everybody was, like all sort of the young men. I didn't serve in the army. All the young men, were leaving the neighborhood.
And to be clear, you moved to Israel after, you know, the age of traditional service, and you were married and had kids.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah. I'm also not really like an army guy, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Not really my thing.
Yeah. But there's like, no reason you would have been in the army anyway.
No.
Yeah.
So then we knew something was bad. But honestly, we were pretty out of the loop until the holiday ended at about 7 o'clock. And we sort of had bad feelings just based on like the little information we knew. But I think it was what ended up happening was much worse than like I'd say even like our worst case scenario. You want like what did you because you had a similar situation. But and we've gotten into this and this is not really the realm of what we're talking about today. But like you have an extra day of holidays. So you guys were like really out of the loop. But I'm sure people were sort of like checking the news or whatever. Would you say you were pretty filled in at this point or?
Yeah. I mean, the thing is it gave me vibes of 9/11. So on 9/11, you and I were in Israel for the year. We were our year abroad here after high school. And it was, you know, it was the first couple weeks of the year. And it was a situation where it was a Tuesday afternoon, local time for us. And we didn't have access in our school. Nobody had a TV or a radio or anything like that on campus. And you couldn't get through on the phone to people in America because lines were jammed. And so there was just like rumors and pieces of information. And that's kind of like how it was all weekend for us. So Saturday morning, I get to synagogue. And rewind 3 weeks on Saturday morning, on Rosh Hashanah, I get to synagogue. And my dad told me Friday evening, my parents had been at our house for the Rosh Hashanah dinner. And I get to synagogue Saturday morning. And my dad says, "We were robbed last night." And while my parents were at our house, people broke into their house and stole their safe and, you know, and basically robbed
your
them.
Your parents?
Yeah. On the first night of Rosh Hashanah. And as it turned out, they had been watching them for a long time and they were tracking their movements, my parents' movements, that is, which is obviously
That's
a very
crazy
feeling. And so, and like someone's Zoom camera across the street actually caught, anyways. So I got to shul and my dad gave me that sort of, horrific news. Everything's relative, obviously. A couple weeks ago.
Wait, that was Rosh Hashanah?
Oh, yeah, this is Rosh Hashanah. This is 3 weeks ago, yeah.
Okay.
So I get to shul Saturday morning, and again, my dad immediately calls me and says Israel's at war, and he still starts telling me what he knows, and then everybody in synagogue is sort of talking about it, but it's bits and pieces of rumor, sort of like what you're saying. And this is Saturday morning our time, so it's Saturday evening, you know, Saturday 4 or 5 p.m. your time. And then when it gets to the moment in the prayers, when we say a prayer for the United States government and the United States military, and then we do the same for Israel, the rabbi gave a more formal announcement there and let everyone in the synagogue know very vaguely what was going on. And then, yeah, the rest of the weekend, it was just, you know, everyone, a lot of people were using their phones that may not otherwise use their phones, you know, people especially trying to get mm-hmm. in touch with family in Israel. And then Saturday night already, it was my parents were offline because their holiday ended. They were online, excuse me. And so, yeah, my dad came to synagogue Saturday night, found me and was giving me updates from CNN. And that was basically it. You know, like the Twins had a game against the Astros at 4 p.m., and in another world, I thought that as soon as, you know, I thought at 7 o'clock PM, my dad mm-hmm. would come give me the update to that score. And then I literally did not enter my mind Saturday night at any point, just because of all the other right. chaos going on. And then Sunday afternoon, I walked over to their house and ended up watching TV for several hours, but we were watching CNN and MSNBC and Fox News and, you know, no football. We did at one point turn to a commercial to see Kirk Cousins getting sacked or something like that. But
do you even know the Vikings score?
Yeah, so I saw they lost at the end of the game. Jefferson got injured and they lost 27-20 or something. And Houston beat the Twins 6-4, I think. But it was such a surreal day. And then Saturday night, so this holiday is literally called, this holiday is that we were celebrating, that you were celebrating and I was celebrating Saturday, is literally called Simchat Torah, the joy of the Torah. And the purpose of the holiday is to have joy. Like the literal commandment is to be happy on that day. And how are you happy when, you know, the greatest number of deaths of Jewish people in one day, at least since Yom Kippur and possibly since the Holocaust. I mean,
I think they're saying since the Holocaust. Yeah.
Yeah. And also, you know, there's the mourning. There's also the hardest part thing for us to understand in America, because we weren't watching the news and it seems like nobody still knows the answer, is the catastrophic failure of the Israeli intelligence, number one, yeah. and the Israeli defense, number two, that hundreds of people could cross the border and occupy entire towns mm-hmm. for hours and hours before there was any reaction by the Israeli yeah. military, yeah, that yeah. something this big could be planned for months. You know, Israeli human intelligence is supposed to be great, you know, within the Palestinian yeah. areas. And so, you know, it's absolutely horrifying. And it's reassuring to see President Biden and leaders all over the world sort of supporting Israel in this time. But, you know, the loss, this really is, you know, proportionally, it's worse than 9/11, right? Israel's population is what, 8 million?
Yeah, I my sort of initial reaction was like, this is 9/11. But I do think, and not to belittle, I'm a New Yorker, like the 9/11, like in hindsight, like it was over. Yes, it was certainly scarred people's psyches for many years. And obviously there was many repercussions. But like when it was over, I mean, there basically hasn't been anything even 1% like in the last 22 years. Like this is still ongoing right now. Like there are now they claim 130 hostages. That number is bounced around a lot over the last 36 years.
And also, as horrific as 9/11 was, and again, not to diminish it in any way, but the average American almost certainly did not know anyone involved. If you
right.
live in New
so
York, it's,
right,
different.
Right. So I, yeah. So yeah. proportionally,
everyone in Israel knows somebody who's
right.
Been...
I know. I do already know somebody who died. Yes. And it is a small country. The number is 700, and I think it'll probably end up being closer to 1,000. It seems like
on one day, let alone.
Yeah. But yes.
Many more innocent people are going to die. Unfortunately, yes. Many innocent Palestinians are going to die. You know, I would assume that, and we're speculating right now, but I would assume that there's going to have to be a ground invasion of Gaza to remove Hamas's military capabilities. And, you know, Egypt's not letting people in on their border either. So unfortunately, yeah. innocent people are going to die. Not innocent people are going to die. Israeli soldiers are going to die. It's tragic. And you know, and for what, right? Like at the end, I guess people are speculating that Hamas was, or Iran, who's also behind them, was trying to scuttle the Israeli-Saudi peace
yeah,
deal.
Yeah, so just,
to,
yeah, I don't think this, I think that's more of like people, I don't think that was the Saudi thing was, you know what I mean? Like, yeah, Israel and Saudi Arabia talking about peace, but I just don't think that was top of mind to Hamas. Like, I think...
Well, what was the specific reason?
Because here's sort of, and again, we're speculating, this is one yeah. day out. So Israel's been dunking on Iran for like 10 years. If people don't know, Israel literally went into an Iranian like nuclear facility and took like boxes of paperwork and paraded it back to their country. They used, per the New York Times, a drone gun that was operated in Israel to like assassinate a scientist. Like it sounds like science fiction if you read the New York Times article about how they killed an Iranian scientist, which also makes it so much crazier that like
working on nuclear weapons, to be clear, not like a scientist, you know, working on the
like a guy who's like winning the Nobel Peace Prize, someone who's trying to nuke them, but like
But these are all the reasons why we have such confidence and faith in Israeli intelligence. Because,
yeah, you read an article like that, and I think like, oh, we have like they have technology that you didn't even like imagine could exist in a movie. Because you think because their intelligence so vaunted, you think like if there's a plan that more than 50 people know about, and here we don't know numbers, but so just to get into specifics for people who are really using this as their information, like. They went into about 22 different towns near the border, although some of them weren't that close to the border. They sort of massed at about 6:30 a.m. and on motorcycles and trucks and went into towns and went like door to door in a lot of cases, killing people or rounding up hostages,
raping people in some instances.
In some instances, just
horrifying. And, there was a music concert right.
So
the
music
the
festival is because I sort of knew. Like the number is too high to be like two here, two there. So it ended up, it turns out, the music festival has at least, and they say it was like a peace music festival, like sort of like hippies in the forest on a weekend. And they say at least 250 people were killed, but that,
and they said there was a pile of 260 bodies. So, you know,
yeah, at least 260,
and including American citizens, I think a German citizen.
Yeah, the German citizen was I think the woman who was paraded
the video, but yeah,
but the
a bunch of Thai citizens also, like there's a lot of countries whose citizens have been kidnapped or murdered here.
So basically what they did there is they like hang glided in with guns, like it's crazy. They like you see videos, like they were literally hang gliding into the festival and started shooting.
Yeah, teenagers who you know at 6 a.m. are drunk or high, obviously no weapons to be found.
So that was definitely the biggest of all these incursions. But yeah, it just doesn't make any sense. And then there were people like on some small village that maybe has 100, 200 people, and people are going door to door with Kalashnikovs and RPGs, at least you see in one video.
Amir Thibone, who's a reporter for Haaretz, used to be the Washington correspondent. Now I think he's their diplomatic correspondent. He lives in Nahal Oz, I think like a little kibbutz right near the border. And he was on CNN this afternoon. And, you know, maybe some people saw that, just describing, you know, him and his wife and his 3-year-old and his 1-year-old locked in a cellar all day with no Wi-Fi service, with nothing. They didn't know what was going on. And they're used to rockets, unfortunately, Hamas rockets when they live near the border. But obviously, they were hearing machine guns was totally different. And then ultimately, his father, Thibone, who's a general in the Israeli army, actually, an older man, obviously, drove down from Tel Aviv and helped rescue some injured soldiers. And then ultimately, crazy story.
Just crazy. He drove like 2.5 hours into a war zone, basically. And
his children and grandchildren like were there.
So. Yeah, for sure. So, and I will say, like, I would say for you, don't watch the videos, honestly. If there's someone who wants to learn, or like, hey, I don't like, maybe watch the videos.
If you don't know what Hamas is, because you know,
right, yeah, for
sometimes
like
it's presented as, you know, like a legitimate, you know, political entity or whatever.
And it's interesting because I'm really, in general, not someone I don't care, like, hey, who, you know, which side you support for the most point. You know, obviously social media is accessible, even though almost everybody was supporting Israel today. I don't know how you know, people are seeing, you know, sexual assaults and a Holocaust survivor in one case being taken prisoner, and like but still I think that like one of the, we live most of the time like pretty privileged lives as Jewish people, especially like, you know, Jewish Americans or whatever. But
certainly relative to Jews through most of history and most
rest,
parts
relative
of the world.
To every Jew throughout the rest of history.
Yes.
But it does suck a little bit that there's so many people out there that want you to die. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It sucks a little bit, but ultimately.
And that synagogues in New York and L.A. had to have police presence today and yesterday because of the concern that we're targets.
Even. Yeah. I mean, my mom's nursery school, like, this is insane, but my mom's nursery school has to have.
Because sort of I live in a bubble of Orthodox Jews until, mm-hmm. frankly, talking to some of the 32 fans patrons, it's never dawned on me that it's not the norm for churches in America to have. You cannot walk into a synagogue anywhere in America without passing a security guard. And in certain cases, metal.
And by the way, when we were kids, you 100% could have. And basically
this is a new thing. I mean, in Europe, I think it's been this way for synagogues for a long time. And I thought that post 9/11, that's just how all religious institutions are. And I realized, no, it's really just the Jewish privilege that and it doesn't matter if you're in the suburbs or if you're in the city. And then on times like this, you know, it's even scarier. And again, not we are extraordinarily privileged and fortunate and safe to be Jewish in America, obviously, relative to many other people in America and certainly to Jews in many other parts of the world. So certainly not complaining at all. But it's also, you know, as somebody who obviously identifies very strongly with Israel and Zionism, even though I live in America, it was such an empty feeling to be in America. And it's not that I could be doing anything affirmative in any way being in Israel right now necessarily, but just, you know, you feel like when your people are under attack, to be sitting in privilege in New Jersey, you feel sort of very empty. And it's a weird feeling. And again, I don't know what to do. My kids want to sell lemonade and ice cream tomorrow and send the money to people who are injured. And so, you know, we'll try and do whatever little part we can. But yeah, it is a feeling of hopelessness and depression. And again, like, this is only the beginning. So many more innocent people are going to die.
For sure. 100%. I think it's, like I said, the first thing I thought was, oh, this is our 9/11. And it is. And I don't, and we shouldn't compare, but it ultimately, like, this is going to go on for a long time. These numbers are going to keep getting higher. It is such a small country. There was two helicopters crashed famously in an accident like 25 years ago. And I think 70 people died, which was, I think, basically the biggest sort of one day death total, maybe in the country, you know, in the recent country's history. And they said, I think basically everybody in the country knew someone or knew someone, you know, like, was second degree connection of basically, someone in the crash. And here it is the same thing. And everyone who lives here knows people who were called up to war, who, you know, maybe thought they didn't have to serve in the army, which is mandatory, like, anymore. And maybe they're older and they're calling up, you know, basically everybody at this point.
My youngest brother is getting married in New York on Sunday, and already mm-hmm. he's had family members cancel some because just, you know, there's flights are shutting down.
And, right. I wouldn't want to try and get out.
But
also.
Others, my niece had to go, was called into the war. She's, I think, 19 or 20, Tali. And so, yeah, it's very, you know, and it's so meaningless and so frustrating because, you know, again, at the end of the day, fast forward 2 months from now, what's the on the ground accomplishment going to be to anyone's
right. There
positive
is no, and so, like, Netanyahu comes out and says, like, we're declaring war, we're going to win the war. It's like, but realistically, like, there is no way, if not that anyone wins in war, but, like, there is no way to win this war. Like, you've already lost. There's nothing that could happen. Like, literally, if the Palestinians were like, you know what, you guys were right, we're good, you still lost, you know what I mean? Because the hundreds of people
and like, what I mean, again, I assume that they're gonna invade Gaza and they're going to try and root out as much of Hamas's military capability mm-hmm. as they can, but then what happens? Israel has no interest in occupying Gaza permanently.
No,
that's a terrible scenario.
Yeah,
and if you,
like,
leave,
ISIS comes
vacuum.
In basically.
Yeah, so it's almost like, you know, in The Wire, you know, when they wipe out the Barksdales and then the mm-hmm. the, like, either Hamas is going to return or someone worse than them. And so
no, for sure. No, 100%.
There's no positive solution.
No.
And also, as Jen was saying, you know, extremism it benefits extremists in every direction. You know, I heard some, you know, a lot of people were mourning and were sad, and some people in my community were saying things, you know, pretty extremist things in the other direction. And it's understandable. People's emotions are high, and it's just, you know, it's just depressing. It's, peace seems further and further away every day, and the number of lives lost today is just incalculable.
Well, it doesn't even seem further. I it does seem impossible. Yair Lapid, the once prime minister of Israel, like, said, you know, we don't need peace really at this point. We just need a divorce. We're in, like, the worst marriage in the world, and we just need to go separate ways. But ultimately, we live, like, basically in the same very small piece of land, you know, I you know, they hate us. I think we nothing them for the most part.
Like, well, not right now, certainly, but yeah.
Not right now, but I don't, I mean, I like, we have no hatred. I, you know what I mean? I just like, you know, we leave you alone, you leave us alone, is more likely.
Yeah. I'm just getting notified right now that, two of my son's friends who are Israeli citizens, excuse me, my son's teachers were back in Israel, for the holiday for Sukkot. And they've both been called up to the military. So, I mean, my son's teachers are literally going to be absent for who knows how long.
Right. Well, my kids don't have school. Probably.
Well, schools. Yeah. My next door neighbors on both sides are in Israel right now. Now, it's the airport is actually open now. It was closed temporarily. American flights have canceled, but European flights in El Al are still flying. Yeah. And so my next door neighbors, both of them actually texted me to say they're coming back tonight. They're supposed to come back.
This is also the holiday with a lot of the Americans. Zillions. It wasn't released till he landed elsewhere. But Cory Booker was here, and another congressman
the congressman Dan, what, the Jewish guy from
Moskowitz
Manhattan,
or Bernstein, or
the, no, shorter Jewish name, but yeah, Berger, maybe, I forget his name.
No, I don't think so. Anyway, it's only bad news, and it'll only get worse. And I think 9/11 is an apt comparison, because today was 9/12, and you sort of like separate the rumors from what actually happened. And but I still think everyone's walking around in a daze, and they thought this was impossible. And I do think people ultimately,
one or two people sneaking across the border is a huge is a disaster. In fact, about 2 months ago, and I may be getting my dates wrong, two Hamas terrorists snuck over the border into the military base right on the border there between Gaza and Israel. The gate was left open. They came in, they killed two Israeli soldiers and left without a single shot being fired this summer. And this was like a huge scandal in Israel because, you know, how could security be so lax right on the border with Hamas, with Gaza? How could this happen? And it was supposed to be a wake-up call. And that was two people sneaking across in hundreds. Right. I mean, it's incomprehensible to me how the intelligence failure and then the military failure, and it'll take a long time to.
Yeah. And by the way, like the prime minister has basically been in power for most of the last 25 years. Yeah. And like people are like, well, at least you're safe. It's like, no, you're not safe. It's like, well, what do you do then? Yeah. You know,
I mean, I,
like,
I think in the long run, a lot of heads are going to roll, political and military leaders.
But in politics, it's not like.
But now is not the time for that.
Yeah. No, but I also think it's like there's no accountability in politics. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like,
but Yom Kippur War is what knocked out Golda and Dayan and that whole generation. Mm-hmm. And by the way, you can certainly, I'm not going to speak for you, but me and most people I know are not fans of Benjamin Netanyahu, not fans of this government.
No,
but you know, everything there's been protests against him, huge protests of hundreds of thousands.
Ironically, it was a pretty divided country, which maybe Hamas saw and like said,
well, there was protests every single Saturday, literally for over a year.
Yeah. Like 100,000 people protest,
and huge numbers of reservists had said they weren't going to serve anymore in the military because, and every single person, you know, sat down and said, you know, this comes first now. And so, congrats.
Nobody,
if you don't like the Netanyahu government, and I certainly don't, you've certainly empowered them at least in the short term. So congratulations, which again, the extremists on all sides always benefit each other. So
I also think like sometimes we think internally, like I don't think Hamas cares about Netanyahu versus some other person. I don't think it's like,
For them, I think all Israelis are Jews are interchangeable. All right. I mean, Jews, they were calling on attacks against Jews around the world, actually, which again is why security was beefed up at my synagogue and synagogues around, maybe elsewhere, but I know at least New York and LA from what the news was saying and what I experienced personally. So listen, I'm glad you're safe at least. And, although, you know, obviously there's many people we know who are less safe now.
I think part of what happens is like we feel less safe. Like I always felt safe, like walking around. Yeah. People are like, oh, like no, I feel safe, just as safe as I did in, you know, in Manhattan the last 10 years. And I feel like much less safe now. I don't feel, you know, you like.
Well, that's how it's like 9/11.
My kids, yes, my kids roam much freer than your kids do, for sure. And my kids can go to the park on Friday nights and play with their friends, like when they're basically like 12, 13 years old, and that's a normal thing. And they can, you know, they can cross the street or whatever, like it. But now it's like, well, we were stupid. Like we were too, you know, so it was a false sense of security. We were too secure, and we had too much faith in the government and the military. And ultimately, like people are very fallible, and that's basically what happened.
Yeah. I mean, that's really all that, you know, I feel like talking about now. Listen, it's okay to seek distractions. Watching doom scrolling the news or social media endlessly is ultimately to no benefit. I'm going to be doing that at least, you know, tonight, because I'm trying desperately to catch up on 2 days of rumors and innuendo. But at some point I will return to sports and the rest of my life because,
because I'm like 48 hours ahead of you or 36 or whatever. Yeah. Like I certainly didn't go. My son was like, cause we had plans to go watch football with some of the local basketball players tonight. And he's like, all right, we're going. And I was like, he doesn't really know what happened, you know? So I was like,
but it's a cliche, but it's really true. Like, you don't want to let the terrorists win. I'm a member of CSS, which is the, as part of the security that all synagogues require in America, there's a program called CSS Community Security Service, where members of the community get trained. And in addition to the police and the professional armed security that we have at our synagogues, we also have members of the synagogue who rotate and do security every week, since we obviously, can recognize better who belongs at synagogue and who doesn't, more so than maybe a police officer can. And the slogan for CSS is protecting Jewish life and the Jewish way of life. And I always sort of roll my eyes. It's a little corny, I thought, but it really impacted me a lot this weekend, because Jewish life is obviously what's been going on in Gaza and Israel right now. But the Jewish way of life is, again, it was a holiday today and it was still important to celebrate. And last night, Saturday night, Simchat Torah is like one of the biggest party nights of the year on the Jewish calendar. And I came home from synagogue and I really wasn't in the mood. And I was talking to Jen and I was like, well, I'm going to go anyways, because there was a big party planned. And I went to the party and it was a very different somber mood. We read Psalms together. It was certainly not the typical party that it is, but it still was a party because, you have to continue your life, whether it's sports or gambling or chatting in 32 fans, patron chat or whatever it is. Like, you do have to continue your life, because otherwise, it's a cliche, but you're letting the terrorists win. So you shouldn't feel guilty I am going to try and hopefully catch some of the Twins Astros game tonight. And I'll probably watch the highlights of the Vikings Chiefs game, but don't ask me to come on the podcast the next day, or I'm not going to have a chance, I don't think, tomorrow to watch the recap of all the games I missed this week. So yeah. I will be woefully unprepared.
We could have done a pretty sweet,
you catch me
tell you everything that happened. Cause I was able, like, at this point, 36 hours, like, all right, I'm going to watch the games today and stuff. I mean, we worked today. It was obviously very awkward and, probably wasn't the most productive day in work history, but,
yeah, I'm just getting text messages from my son's school right now, from my kid's school, excuse me. And my kids have been asked. So my kids were already afraid because of what happened to their grandparents a couple weeks ago. And they were asking, are bad guys going to come into our house and steal from us? And we reassured them no, because we don't have anything of value in our house, which is true.
What about the tomato cans?
Yeah. Other than my wife's engagement ring, which she wears on her finger at all times, there's nothing in this house that costs $1,000. I guess a couch, but what are they going to take?
Nothing
of a resale. There's nothing with a resale value of $1,000 in this entire house.
Right, true.
So, fortunately, but and now my kids are asking us.
This is Chester bragging that he doesn't buy his wife expensive jewelry. But keep going.
My kids are asking all these kinds of questions, and
I think it goes by age.
What do you tell them?
So my two girls in high school have phones and they're free to know what they want, and like my 1-year-old doesn't know what's going on, and the first grader knows, but ultimately doesn't care, like, he, as long as he could like watch, like, he's just excited there's no school, probably. Like, he's probably a big Hamas fan right now. And then
but he must have noticed. I mean, my kids noticed how many police were in front of our synagogue today.
Oh, for sure.
And they heard all the adults talking. And they're going to go to school tomorrow. And I'm sure school is going to have all kinds of
programs. Well, he said, aren't we watching football tonight? And I said, no, that would be inappropriate to have a big football watching party. He's like, inappropriate? I was like, all right, I'm not going to, it's like, not inappropriate, but it's not the night.
Listen, right after 9/11, we rooted passionately for the Yankees to lose the World Series, and it was the right thing to do. It was the American thing to do.
And we were successful. They lost.
Yes. So you should be rooting against Houston tonight. And the Cowboys are playing tonight. Is that correct?
Yeah, it's Cowboys Niners.
Cowboys 49ers. That is a great game, actually. Maybe I'll try and catch some of that. Anyway,
you didn't
safe.
Miss a great football Sunday, but we'll get into that later in the week.
Yeah. You know, I remember in 2017, especially like the early Trump days, every Saturday night you turn on your phone and
there's always a new story. 100%.
What insanity happened?
1,000 times in a row.
Yeah. And this is obviously 1,000 times worse than that. It was anyway, we're out of words, but I did want to touch base with you. And for listeners who know what's going on or experiencing it, hopefully this is some kind of a emotional salve. And for those who don't, hopefully it's somewhat informational. I don't know. But if you hate this podcast, let us know. Stick to sports and we won't listen to you. But all right, Wills. Talk to you later.
All right. Bye.
Sometimes I lay under the moon. I thank God I'm breathing. And I pray, don't take me soon. because I am here for reasons. Sometimes in my tears I drown, but I never let it get me down. So when negativity surrounds, I know someday it'll all turn around. Because all my life I've been waiting for, I've been praying for the people to say that we don't wanna fight no more. There'll be no more war, and our children will pay.
Hey, Drew Scott here.
And I'm Jonathan Scott, reminding you that life's better with a home policy from American Family Insurance. They can help you get just the right protection at just the right price and help you save when you bundle home and auto. Kind of like Goldilocks and the Three Bears. It'll be just right for you. We love a custom build. American Family Insurance. Insure carefully. Dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby. Mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa. Take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Ch-ch-chumba. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details. Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered ChumbaCasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby. Mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa. Take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.